Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hi, everybody. This is Kim Holderness.
And I'm Penn Holderness, and this is the Holderness Family Podcast.
This podcast is being released on April 30th, 2024, which is the day that ADHD is Awesome is finally being released into the world.
Woohoo! We've been talking about this a lot if you follow our podcast. Thank you for your patience in letting us talk about this, even if it's not a topic that you really care about. But thank you for... If you listen to this, that means you care about me. And that means a lot.
And it is... been a labor of love. It has taken several years. And if you have had something that has taken many years to work on, you can sympathize and empathize, I hope, with the sweet relief of it finally being finished.
So I wrote this book because it was the book that we needed as a family. You may or may not know I have ADHD. I have known I've had it since about college. I've been able to manage without medication for several decades. I found a great job and I found a great woman who was okay with my particular brand of brain. And then you have kids and you go into business with your wife and life gets more complicated. And this happens to a lot of people with ADHD. The symptoms, if you will, are exacerbated a bit. And it became difficult, increasingly difficult, not just for me, but for my family. I could tell that in certain situations, my executive functioning was failing and I was letting them down. And so we did this deep dive into ADHD and we discovered together really that there are certainly ways to work around this and there are so many great upsides for ADHD, which I've always suspected.
We started making fun and uplifting ADHD content on our channels about 5 years ago simply because we were learning more about it and we wanted to share it in the way in which we like to share things, which is through goofy songs or sketches. And then all of a sudden we heard from so many of you telling us that these sort of videos and blogs were really hard to find for children and adults, meaning just presenting ADHD in its honest form, in which there are a lot of upsides.
Our book has three main goals, right? In the middle of all of it is that ADHD needs to be better understood, right? Patients, parents, partners, teachers, everyone. So the first goal is learning about what ADHD actually is. And spoiler alert, it's very different from what society portrays it as.
The second part of the book is learning about how to partner and parent with ADHD. Because, whew, it's a doozy.
And the third part is learning how to make the most out of your ADHD. Just a quick summary. Partners learn that ADHD is an explanation, right? It explains why you're doing it, but it's also not an excuse. So part three, you know, we get to work. The ADHDers get to work on putting systems in place.
The book itself is super colorful. There's so many graphics. We've sent advanced reader copies. A friend of ours who has ADHD saw it and said, it makes my eyes feel relaxed. It's actually a book I could read.
It's a nice compliment.
Yes, it's a great compliment. I would say the number one question we get, though, is if there's going to be an audiobook. And today on this podcast, we are giving you a preview. So you're going to hear the introduction and chapter one of this book. A quick aside, a dear friend who's a teacher who has middle schoolers and she's trying to understand her kiddos with ADHD, she's going to be recommending that if people get the book, they listen to this podcast with chapter one as they read it. So it's a free way to kind of get through chapter one, because the ADHD brain, that can help with retention if you're seeing something and listening to something.
Without further ado, the introduction and chapter one of ADHD is Awesome.
Introduction. Hi, friend. Welcome to the ADHD Club. You have joined a tribe of massively creative, fun-loving, funny innovators, and non-linear thinkers who aren't easily discouraged. We're often the life of the party and the first ones to take a risk. Yeah, we lose things, like a lot of things, and we occasionally drive other people up a wall with our energy and interruptions. However, we are also some of the most curious, quick-thinking, shoot-for-the-stars types of people on the planet. We're glad to have you on the team. And if you're reading this because someone you love has ADHD, a special welcome. Thanks for taking the time to learn more about us. That is true love. It can be super annoying to live in a world that wasn't really designed for us. Distractions hurtle at us like a hailstorm. Between video meetings, calendar reminders, social media notifications, and a steady stream of obligations and expectations, life can be overwhelming, especially for our ADHD brains. We live in a society that values multitasking, office work, and the ability to stick to a carefully planned schedule, all things that cause the ADHD brain to short out. It can feel blazingly unfair. If there were a button we could push to make everything and everyone ADHD-friendly, we would press that baby in an instant. But until the world catches up with ADHD, we're going to have to live in the world we've got. I'm Penn Holderness, and I have ADHD. I was diagnosed with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder more than 20 years ago, and my wife, Kim, has learned how to support me with grace and good humor while enjoying the ride of living with someone who is basically the human equivalent of a golden retriever who occasionally forgets to put his mug under the coffee maker in the morning. Kim and I are not doctors or clinicians, but we know intimately the frustrations and joys of having an ADHD brain. We don't study ADHD, we live it. We live the hassle of keys locked in cars, schedules upended, and endless lost headphones. By the way, why are those things so expensive? I'm sorry, seriously. Why are they so expensive, and why is it that if you lose one AirPod, you have to buy both AirPods? And why don't they...
The system is rigged, honey.
Why don't they survive the washing machine? I have a lot of... That's not what this book is about, but...
Big headphone industry has it out for ADHD folks.
They do.
Okay, moving on.
Sorry. We live a creative life, full of surprises, a life that doesn't always go as planned. I use my ADHD brain to create and execute videos that have generated over a billion views online. I once channeled the power of ADHD to help Kim and me win the amazing race. I somehow still remember the phone number of all the pizza delivery places I used to call in college. I also recently didn't remember to turn off the stove in my kitchen, and I almost lost my dog, burned down the house, and put my neighbor in the emergency room. More on that story later. I'm a living example of how ADHD can be great, but also how it can be downright terrifying. My wife, Kim, is the biggest reason my ADHD has largely enriched my life. You'll hear from her quite a bit, including right now. Hi, honey.
Hi, Penn. So I'm Kim, I'm Penn's wife, and I do not have ADHD. You're going to hear from me sporadically in this book, and this is a note from Kim. Hey, friends, if you're listening to this because you're a partner or a parent to someone with ADHD, I'm sending you a really big awkward hug. One minute, Penn's ADHD brain has me rolling on the floor with laughter, and the next, he's locked himself out of the house again. It isn't easy to be in our shoes, is it? Being the finders of keys and reminders of all the things can be exhausting, but I'm here to remind you all of the uniquely awesome parts of our favorite people. We've got this.
Thanks, honey. I'm very happy that you're here. And I'm very, very, very lucky to have you as a partner through all of this. And you're going to see that. Guys, as people, as you listen to this book, you're going to hear from Kim, not just in the parts that she actually wrote, but she's here to make sure that I get through this audiobook. I feel like that's important, too, because this is an ADHD person doing an audiobook.
Yeah.
With an ADHD person directing it.
Okay.
Yeah. That's Tyrell, who we're hopefully going to hear from as well.
Okay. Back to the book, babe.
Back to the book? Okay. I'm sorry. Here we go.
Throughout the book, you'll hear about my personal experiences dancing with ADHD and from Kim about what it's like to live with and love someone with ADHD. Keep in mind that our experiences are just that, our experiences. Yours may look entirely different, and they probably do. One of the glories of ADHD is that its presentation is as unique as the people who have it. Kim and I are lucky enough to be able to share our hard-won wisdom through the Holderness Family platforms, where we share funny videos about modern family life. We also host a podcast where we talk through topics that matter to us, including ADHD. I've been moved to tears by the response to our ADHD-related content. We've had thousands of people message us to say, "Me too," in reply to our ADHD videos. It feels great when parents tell us they've shown our silly songs to their kids, saying things like, "See, it's not all bad," because it's not all bad. Kim and I know enough to know what we don't know, right? So in the process of writing this book, we have called in ADHD experts to contribute their expertise.
We talked to doctors, psychologists, and coaches, all of them acknowledging that ADHD is a huge challenge, but they also emphasize how manageable the symptoms are and how much potential every person with ADHD has. This book takes a strengths-based approach.
Also, fun fact for my ADHD brain, strengths is one of the longest single-syllable words in the English language,
okay,
second only to scrunched.
Okay.
Do you know what scrunch means?
No.
It means to make a crunching noise. So we thought we'd save you, because if you have ADHD and listening to this, you would need to know that.
Okay.
So I want to save you from looking
that. Okay, thank you.
Anyway, yeah, we are determined to help you become ADHD strong. Listen, I know that I have it easy compared to some. I found a partner who supports me, and I found a job that harmonizes with my particular brain. But ADHD is a spectrum disorder. For every person who has 10 laughable, shaking-my-head moments every day, there's someone who can't hold a job or who feels like they can't maintain a meaningful relationship because of their ADHD. For some people, ADHD can be a source of more than frustration. It can lead to self-criticism and deep emotional pain. I want to say right up front that if you're struggling in a way that feels insurmountable, if you're having the deepest, darkest thoughts, please seek out a medical professional who can walk you toward a mentally healthy place. I absolutely love reading the comments and responses to the ADHD-related videos that we make because so many people seem to enjoy them. But there are some comments that hit me in a different place. Those comments from people who are clearly hurt by the suggestion that life with ADHD is anything to joke about. I want to own that. You're right. My take on ADHD has been informed by my experience with it. My very lucky, very privileged experience with it. I don't know what it's like to feel that ADHD is an unbreakable curse. So I'm not speaking here for all of ADHD-dom, only for myself. My hope is that you'll find something to relate to here, even if it's our shared tendency to leave our keys in the fridge. And if not, I get it, and I'm pulling for you. What to expect in this book? My goal as I wrote this book was to make sure that someone with ADHD would actually read and maybe even finish it. So don't worry, you're not in for lots of jargon-filled text that only people who wear lab coats to work would get excited about. You won't find a laundry list of your shortcomings. You won't find a checklist of the obstacles you're going to have to overcome that makes so many of the much-respected ADHD books on the shelves kind of a bummer to read. You won't find complicated explanations of neuroscience and detailed diet recommendations. What I hope you find is a generally positive approach and a snappy pace. You know, novelty is essential to keeping the ADHD brain engaged, so this book has short sections full of useful information that you can implement right away. You'll also find some fun extras to keep you from becoming bored. Get in, get out, move on.
Roadmap for this book. Part 1, it's a crash course on ADHD, what it is and how it affects you. Part 2, reputation damage control. Removing the stigma ADHD has unfairly carried and replacing it with a healthy appreciation of your amazing ADHD brain. Part 3, we'll talk about strategies and techniques for surviving and thriving in daily life and over the long haul.
A hidden disorder. One of the most frustrating things about attention deficit hyperactivity disorder is that it can hide in plain sight. If you're not looking for a group of symptoms that come together to indicate a diagnosis, ADHD behaviors can easily blend into the background. There is no wheelchair or hearing aid to signal to the world that you have a brain difference. A lot of people with ADHD mask their difficulties using adaptive strategies, so to the average observer, they may not even appear to have ADHD. It's a bum situation. The more successful you are, the harder it is for people to believe that you have an actual disorder. They'll look at you and wonder why you are not able to complete a seemingly simple task, like filling out a form at the DMV. On top of that, because ADHD ebbs and flows, it can look to the outside world as if the people who have it are simply not trying. Sometimes we knock it out of the park, but other times we can't even get our jersey on. This can be confounding for people observing ADHDers because they see what we can do and then wonder why we don't just, you know, do it. You didn't forget to unload the dishes yesterday. How come you forgot today? But just like people who have other types of neurodivergent brains, like people with autism spectrum disorder or dyslexia, those of us with ADHD also are not in control of how our brain difference manifests. It's simply how we are wired. Unfortunately, much of the world doesn't recognize that, and this lack of understanding can make people with ADHD feel, well, bad. I call BS on that. You're not hidden to me. I see you. I feel you. And I have a very different idea about what it means to have ADHD. Awesome? What do you mean awesome? It's on the cover of the book. What are you doing with that, right?
We get a lot of smack for saying ADHD is awesome.
I get it. But look, whether you are newly diagnosed or you're a longtime member of the ADHD club, I want you to know that having a neurodivergent brain is awesome. And before you jump down my throat to tell me all the ways that ADHD is decidedly not awesome, hear me out, okay? Because when I say ADHD is awesome, I mean awesome in every sense of the word. Have you ever actually looked up the definition of awesome? My 11th grade English teacher told me that I should never ever begin like a report with Webster's Dictionary defines.
You just started a book that way.
I did, and I'm sorry. So Ms. Finland is probably very upset about this. But this is the perfect place, Kim, for a dictionary definition of awesome.
Awesome. Adjective. Causing or inducing awe, inspiring an overwhelming feeling of reverence, admiration, or fear.
See? That's exactly what I mean when I say ADHD is awesome. ADHD can be great, inspiring, incredible, eye-opening, marvelous, wondrous, staggering, and many other positive connotations. But I can't just blast you in the face with a fire hose of positive thinking. Awesome can also mean hard to comprehend, overwhelming, challenging, or daunting. If you find ADHD scary, I'm with you, totally. It can be overwhelming, definitely. But can it also be awe-inspiring? Yeah. When you think about everything a person with ADHD manages in a single day, absolutely. Both things are true. We have challenges, but for every challenge, there's an upside. So here's the deal. I'm going to share the good parts of having ADHD and then try to find a way to laugh about the bad parts. You're still going to leave your phone at the restaurant. You're still going to realize mid-conversation that you have no idea what your friend is talking about because you've been wondering why certain British people never sound British when they sing. You're still going to find your socks in the refrigerator. But you'll also be armed with the knowledge that different does not mean dysfunctional. The same brain that gets restless and easily bored allows you to make rapid-fire connections, think creatively, innovate, and entertain. When life throws a lot at you, you'll be equipped with the tools to make your way through. Considering how many of us have ADHD, it's shocking how poorly understood the condition is. Some people might think you're lazy or rude, but those of us with ADHD know better. Your brain is not broken. You are not a space cadet, a disaster, or a hot mess of any sort. You've got ADHD, and that makes you awesome. A note from people who have ADHD to people who don't have ADHD. Dear everybody who doesn't have ADHD, including my wife Kim, who's amazing. First of all, thanks for listening to this book. The very fact that you press play means you care enough about someone with ADHD to learn more about what it's like for them to go through life with an ADHD brain. We really appreciate the effort. We know it's not always easy to understand what we're going through. Our behavior can be a real head-scratcher if you don't share our wiring. Whether it's your child, your partner, your sister, or your roommate, you've probably looked at them at some point and said, "Wow, what is it like to be in your head?" We hope that listening to this book and this letter will give you some hint of the ADHD experience. To kick things off, here are a few things that those of us with ADHD wish that those of you who don't have ADHD could know. Number one, we love you, even if it may not always look that way to you. The way that we ADHD types show our love may not always look how you would have drawn it up, or the way that it was portrayed on TV or in the movies. We might not always remember to do the things you ask us to do. Like, if you ask us to bring your book with us when we come downstairs, we might agree to do it, having every intention of doing it, and then just 100% forget. We might not lock eyes with you for a two-hour-long feelings convo about how hurtful it is when we fail to do a simple thing, like bring your book downstairs. But we really do love and care about you, and we care about what you have to say. We're sometimes powerless to the distractions that cross our minds. Even if we are aware of our tendency to wander off track during conversations, and even if we are working on it daily, it still happens. It's not because we don't love you. It's just how our neurons fire. Number two, the easy things are sometimes the hardest things for us to do. We're great at working on things that are new, challenging, or of personal interest. Hats off, by the way, to Jessica McCabe, who described this holy trinity in her excellent How to ADHD videos. But working on turning the lights off, closing the garage door, and remembering your birthday, we will go 0 for 3 on those because our brains simply aren't designed to dial into everyday tasks the way that a non-ADHD brain does. This might be frustrating for you because it's hard to fathom how we can lock ourselves in a room all day to paint a landscape or invest countless hours inventing some sort of automatic bird feeder, but we can't remember to clear our dishes from the table. Number three, we feel shame. When we forgot our phone at home, leave the water running before we go out for a run, or miss an important appointment, we feel real shame, even if we laugh it off. Every time we mess up, it's a reminder that we just aren't as good at managing some aspects of day-to-day life as you are. We don't mean to make your life harder, honest. We know in our hearts that our mistakes are not intentional, but it still feels bad to watch someone we love get annoyed about something that we did. As best-selling author and social scientist Brené Brown has taught us, guilt is feeling bad about something you've done, while shame is feeling bad about who you are. Shame doesn't hit like a lightning bolt. It's more like standing in quicksand and slowly sinking. When we first make a mistake, we get that panicked, elevated heartbeat as our brain tries to figure out whether or not we can fix what went wrong. Either way, we relentlessly replay how we made the mistake to diagnose where things went off track. This endless loop of, how could I have been so dumb or lazy or careless? What really sucks is when we realize we have no memory of how we actually made the mistake. We don't know when or how we put your chapstick in the spice cabinet. It's like a blip in our memory because our brain was focusing on something else when our body was sliding your chapstick between the cumin and the cinnamon. Inevitably, this is followed by embarrassment and a wave of terrible self-talk about why we are this way, how we are broken, and how we can't be fixed. Of course, this isn't true, and that's what this book is for. Number four, we've got you. If you are ever feeling down or alone, we will be there for you. Your happiness is of personal interest to us, and finding a way to cheer you up is new and challenging. So remembering what Jessica McCabe said, that is a 3 out of 3 on the does this interest my ADHD brain quiz. We may not do a great job of listening to you if you're telling us about your favorite podcast, but if you're low and struggling, we will be there for you. We may even be funny enough to get you to smile. Number five, we feel accompanied when you lend us a helping hand. We would love to have you as allies in our daily struggles. Once you understand what's going on in our noggins, you may be able to help by offering grace and forgiveness, which goes a long way in preventing stress from mounting, which helps our symptoms not to flare up and engulf us in a fiery ball of aggravation. That's a win-win. So if you're up for it, you can also talk to us about ways to help manage things that are difficult for us. A little secret, by the way, we don't like making mistakes. What's more, we don't like having to use ADHD as an excuse when we do. Every time we blame our ADHD, we are probably doing it so that we don't have to dwell on our mistakes. But, and this is very important, we do want to try to improve. We don't always know how, but we are willing to learn. If you can lend a hand with a good attitude or a gentle reminder, we will be eternally grateful. We also see how much work and energy it takes for you to do so. We know that ADHD is not a hall pass for bad behavior or an excuse to ask you to find our missing library book, but we really, really appreciate it when you walk beside us on our ADHD journey. Number 6, you can be an anti-othering crusader. If you're ever in a situation where someone is talking smack on someone with ADHD, like giving them a hard time for one of their symptoms or teasing them for being different, feel free to drop some knowledge and educate the speaker, kindly and respectfully, of course, to let them know we're not trying to be jerks. We just have neurodivergent brains. The more we can all do to help people get that everyone's brain is different, the better. Every incremental increase of understanding makes the world a friendlier place for those of us with ADHD and also with other forms of neurodivergence. Thank you for listening. Someone out there is going to have a better day and maybe even better self-esteem because you did. Sincerely, Penholderness.
We're coming right back.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number 1 in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Part 1. Getting to know ADHD. You are not alone, my friend. It might feel like you're the only person on earth whose brain functions like yours, but there are millions of people just like you who share the same wiring. We walk the streets like the X-Men, hidden among the general population, sharing a secret kinship and incredible superpowers. But in a world that values conformity and frictionless interactions, our very frictionful... Yeah, we know that's not a word, but we're going to just invent it for this, okay? Our frictionful challenges can make us feel like freaks, or at the very least, like a bundle of frustration. Human beings are wary of things we don't understand. Part of the reason many of us with ADHD don't sit comfortably with our identity is because we don't fully understand the ins and outs of having ADHD. Our fear of the unknown, what's going on with me? Why does everything seem harder for me than it does for everyone else? Can get in the way of our ability to unlock our potential. Everything seems scarier in the abstract. The more you can demystify what goes on in the black box of your mind, the better equipped you'll be to work with your ADHD instead of against it. The first part of this book aims to do just that, demystify the mystifying. I'll give you the 30,000-foot view of ADHD, who has it, how it gets diagnosed, how it manifests, and what goes on at the neurological level to give you an understanding of what the heck is going on in that fascinating bulbous organ called your brain. A note to my peeps with ADHD, just give yourself a little extra time to listen to this chapter. If you need to go back and listen to parts of it, it's okay. It's a little more complicated, but it is very important. Thanks. Chapter 1. ADHD 101. What is ADHD? Okay, real quick, here's a list of things that ADHD is not. A character flaw, a shortcoming, a choice. It's not a referendum on your parents for failing to instill discipline in you or for not paying enough attention to you as a child. It's not a fad, a trend, fake news, a clever ploy by Big Pharma to make a killing selling unnecessary medications. It's not a scare tactic to drive up television ratings. It's not a ginned-up excuse to get special treatment at school or work. It's not an excuse to behave however we want because, you know, ADHD. It is certainly not a badge of shame, even though, get this, ADHD has a long history of very shameful names. So what is it anyway? Attention Deficit Hyperactivity Disorder is a chronic but manageable neurodevelopmental disorder that affects the development and function of your brain. Your brain differences can result in three main categories of symptoms: inattention, impulsivity, and hyperactivity. A typical person with ADHD will have challenges with listening, completing tasks, and keeping track of time and possessions. They'll be restless, always on the go, talkative, and impatient. Symptoms usually show up when you're a kid, and they can stick around into adulthood. Annoyingly, for those of us with ADHD, these symptoms can look a lot like poor behavior or bad manners, or maybe even flat-out refusal to play by the rules. But in people with ADHD, they are not voluntary behaviors. They are involuntary symptoms dictated by neurochemistry. I want to repeat that because it's important. ADHD symptoms are not choices. They are neurologically determined.
Okay, Penn, let's do a fun exercise.
I love fun exercises.
Okay, you're going to list out ADHD symptoms and what they look like, and then I'll tell you what they actually are.
Okay, I'm so excited.
Okay.
Okay, what our symptoms look like, that's me. So It looks like impulsiveness.
But really, it's involuntary actions due to brain chemistry.
It looks like disorganization.
Really, it's problems with prioritizing.
It looks like poor time management.
It's really problems with focusing.
It looks like trouble multitasking.
It's really restlessness.
It looks like poor planning.
And it's really low frustration tolerance.
You know, despite the terrible name of the diagnosis, having ADHD does not mean you are incapable of paying attention or can't sit still, though either or both may describe you at times. In fact, and this is really important, if you have ADHD, you may actually be better at focusing than your neurotypical friends, as long as you're actually interested in what you're doing.
We saw this so many times on The Amazing Race because obviously you were highly motivated to focus. And my brain, it was like it had been shaken like a snow globe and I could not focus. And you were so hyper-focused. You were really the superhero in all of those tasks.
It was such a unique situation, right? It's not like real life. We had literally one thing to do.
Yeah.
And I think that's where that focus really works. The newest science describes ADHD as a disorder that affects your ability to self-regulate. And that's whether it's staying in your chair or waiting until someone else has finished talking before sharing the interesting fact you just learned about blue whales. Which, by the way, some of their blood vessels are so wide that a human could fit through them. With ADHD, every day is an adventure. Sometimes you need to find a way to rein in your wild imagination, but sometimes that imagination solves a problem and saves the day. Because it's a spectrum disorder, your symptoms might vary quite a bit from your ADHD neighbors, and they might vary quite a bit day to day. You'll have days, or maybe just hours or minutes, that aren't especially intense ADHD-wise, where symptoms are at a low hum, but when you encounter a stressful or overstimulating environment, symptoms can kick up to a deafening roar.
A note from Kim. As somebody who doesn't have ADHD, I just witnessed my husband. He really wanted to space out there. He was trying so hard to focus. If you didn't really pay attention to that last paragraph because you're still thinking about swimming through a whale's blood vessel, that is okay. Go back and listen again. It'll help you understand why you didn't pay attention to that last paragraph. But yeah, a blue whale's heart can be 5 feet long and 5 feet tall, if you're wondering. So I wouldn't have to duck too much to stand and put my arms out in a blue whale. You'd have to duck a little, but you'd fit, babe.
Yes, ADHD is a chronic disorder that can cause chronic disorder. See what I did there? But getting a diagnosis is not the end of the universe. The symptoms of ADHD can be managed. Like high blood pressure, if ADHD goes unmanaged, it can be truly detrimental to your health, especially your mental health. But if you have a clear diagnosis and a careful plan for working with your incredible brain, you can live a full and fulfilling life. You can learn to improve your ability to self-regulate through behavioral change, adjusting your environment, exercising, mindfulness training, engaging a coach, and sometimes through medication. I'll provide suggestions and strategies for all of that in part 3 of this book. What causes ADHD? In the great nature versus nurture debate, nature kicks nurture's butt when it comes to ADHD. For decades, people assumed that ADHD was the result of bad parenting or a weakness in character. People would say things like, "What this child needs is more boundaries. Where's my ruler?" Now, scientists generally agree that your ADHD is largely biologically determined. Scientists have long established that there is a difference in how ADHD brains work in the areas that manage attention, emotionality, and impulsivity. Getting an ADHD diagnosis is not about how much sugar you eat each day or how many video games you play before bed. It has nothing to do with whether you have the kind of parents who let you eat Doritos for dinner or the kind who came at you with a squirt of Dawn if you interrupted during grace to tell everyone about the weird bug that you saw on your way home from school.
Your parents aren't totally off the hook, though, because there is a hereditary component to ADHD's biological origins. Scientists have identified 7 genes and a few dozen locations on the genome that seem to be involved with the disorder, which means ADHD tends to run in families. Chances are good you have one or more relatives with the condition as well. According to a study cited by a clinical professor of psychology at Virginia Commonwealth University and preeminent ADHD expert Russell Barkley in his book Taking Charge of Adult ADHD, more than half of children who had ADHD also shared the diagnosis with a biological parent.
I feel like I am living proof of this statistic. I don't even know if I understood the genetic pull of ADHD until Kim came to one of my family reunions. She sat, eyes wide open in shock, as the crowd expertly maintained multiple conversations at once, very loudly. Many in my extended family wear their ADHD diagnoses like badges of honor, and that has certainly helped me navigate my own brain with confidence.
This is a true story. I sat in awe at that first big family dinner because no one finished a conversation. One sentence sparked a question on another topic. And then someone chimed in with a story. And then the person next to me asked me about my mom. I had whiplash. They could balance multiple conversations at once, and it broke my brain. I loved the energy at the table, and I fell in love with every single one of those people. But after about 10 minutes of trying to keep up, I needed a nap.
Also, like, I'm proud of you for getting through that because I know you're a bit neurodivergent in your own sense. And I'm imagining that people who experience that might experience some anxiety as well.
You know, it took a while for me to learn that that's what normal looked like because my anxiety brain needs a start and finish to a sentence. But it was certainly a lot of fun, and I've certainly trained my brain, and I do love your entire family.
You're the best.
I am.
Delayed, not deleted. For some people who are diagnosed at a young age, some symptoms of ADHD will disappear as they get older. In one interview, Dr. Stephen Kurtz, former clinical director of NYU Child Study Center's Institute for Attention Deficit Hyperactivity and Behavior Disorders, and former senior director of the ADHD Center of the Child Mind Institute. Okay, I know that was a long title, and thank you for making it to the end of it, but the experts, like Dr. Kurtz, who agreed to be interviewed for this book, went to school for a lot of years to earn all of those titles. So we will be listing every single one of them for every impressive doctor who was generous enough to give us their time. Anyway, Dr. Kurtz drew a distinction between brain differences that cause a delay in developing a skill and differences that cause the absence of that skill. Many children with ADHD will experience a delay in development in a particular area, whether it's impulse control or time management, but they will not lack the ability. With practice, it's possible that that skill can improve.
The three main types of ADHD. While everyone's precise cocktail of symptoms will vary, they do tend to cluster into three main types of ADHD. Inattentive type, poor at listening, forgetful, inattentive, easily distracted. Hyperactive/impulsive type, fidgety, restless, chatty. Combined, it's a combo platter of inattentive and hyperactive impulsive types.
Love a good combo platter. For what it's worth, I am combined. I have to work really hard to listen or make it through books. I also tear my napkin into tiny pieces no matter who I'm eating with. Kim knows this. And if you let me, I will talk for way too long. I am working on it. Generally speaking, girls tend to be diagnosed with the inattentive type more frequently than the hyperactive impulsive type, which may be partially why their diagnoses slip under the radar. Being a daydreamer isn't recognized as a symptom as easily as the inability to keep still. Dr. Kurtz explains that hyperactive impulsive presentation tends to get noticed earliest in kids because there isn't a lot of opportunity to see toddlers struggling to pay attention. The wiggler is easy to spot. When kids reach school age, however, and they are asked to be on task for longer periods, the inattentive and combined types are easier to recognize. Who gets diagnosed with ADHD? Millions of people around the world are living with ADHD. Somewhere between 5 and 10% of children and between 3 and 5% of adults in America have been diagnosed with ADHD. For decades, people thought of ADHD exclusively as a disorder of little boys bouncing all over the classroom. But now, with better diagnostic tools and more awareness, we can see subtle lifelong variations. Of children who were diagnosed before the age of 17, the vast majority, around 90%, will continue to have symptoms as adults, though the symptoms may come and go depending on what's going on in their lives. Even though some people dismiss ADHD as being overdiagnosed, ADHD is actually underdiagnosed in many populations, including adults, girls and women, highly intelligent people, minority populations, young children, and people with other disorders. I'm going to talk a little bit about each of those. Okay, first, adults. A lot of adults go undiagnosed because our understanding of how it shows up in adulthood is new. So the kid climbing on the couch becomes the adult compulsively tapping his pen on his desk. Generally speaking, adults display less hyperactivity. For ADHD adults, our behavior is less about jumping up and down and more about jumping from project to project because we have a hard time sitting down and focusing on one single task. In their book, Driven to Distraction, Drs. Edward Hallowell and John Rady claim that a whopping 90% of adults who have ADHD aren't even aware of it. For many adults, it isn't until they happen upon an article or a podcast about ADHD or have a friend or a family member who gets diagnosed that they say to themselves, there's something about how you're describing this ADHD thing that sounds awfully familiar. The next one is girls and women. According to Dr. Marcy Caldwell, who specializes in treatment and assessment of adult ADHD and is the owner and director at Rittenhouse Psychological Services and founder of the blog adept.org, which is spelled ADDEPT.org, according to Dr. Caldwell, girls and women's symptoms tend to get overlooked, partially because of social pressure for girls to internalize their difficult experiences. As a result, boys are 2 to 3 times as likely to receive a diagnosis as girls. Adult women with ADHD get described as chatty or overly social and chalk their symptoms up to just having a social personality. Also, because women are supposed to be on time, tidy, and in charge of managing the whole family, women with ADHD can feel a huge amount of shame. So think about that. Without a diagnosis, you can assume the reason you can't seem to get the kids out the door with their lunch and sign permission slip is because you're simply deficient in some way. But it's not a deficit. It's a brain difference.
I just want to jump in here because a lot of the comments on the ADHD content we make come from moms and women who do carry a lot of shame because of the way women are expected to show up in this world. Women are expected,
you're supposed to manage everything.
Right.
You're supposed to be in charge of all that.
If we're talking about a typical, heterosexual relationship, it always lands on women somehow. I mean, not all the time, but the gender roles are that the women are the air traffic controllers of the family, and the brain difference doesn't allow that for some families, and it does fall on a lot of women. So I'm very, it breaks my heart to read about those cases in which they don't have the support that, quite honestly, you have. You know, if you were the mom in this situation, and it wouldn't work.
Society has a lot to do with it, right?
Yeah.
And we're trying to work on that as a society. But right now, the mom is expected to handle all of those little things. And none of them hit that ADHD brain. They're not new. They're not challenging. They're not a personal interest. But they're what you do to keep your family going.
Yeah, it's really hard. And we'll talk more about that. But anyway, back to your list, babe.
Let's talk about highly intelligent people. Being high functioning can hide a lot of things. Intelligence can mask symptoms as you coast on your natural gifts, making the presentation of ADHD very subtle. Many people don't get diagnosed until college, when the deadlines, independence, and pressure lead to a greater presentation of symptoms. I have been told by doctors that I fall into this category, which may be why it took so long for me to be diagnosed. I was diagnosed in college. Let's talk about minority populations. Black and Latino children are less likely than white children to receive both a diagnosis and a treatment for ADHD. Bias and systemic racism affect people's perceptions of minority children and adults, so behavior stemming from ADHD gets mislabeled as the result of poor parenting or a lack of discipline. White children are diagnosed with ADHD at a rate of 11.5%, while Black children, that's 8.9%, Latinos, at 6.3%. According to Dr. Tumani Coker, pediatrician and an associate professor of pediatrics at the University of Washington School of Medicine, there is some suspicion in the Black community that the ADHD label is being used as an excuse to dismiss and pathologize Black boys in particular. So some kids who might benefit from having a diagnosis don't receive it. Let's talk about young children. So many of the identifying symptoms of ADHD resemble the state of just being a kid. Parents and teachers assume that distracted, active, daydreamy behaviors are conditions that kids will grow out of eventually, so that kid never gets evaluated or diagnosed. And finally, people with other disorders. ADHD pairs frequently with depression and anxiety, so teasing out what is ADHD and what is another disorder can be really difficult. If you're thinking that that list we just gave you looks so broad that it could include just about anyone who might have ADHD, you're right. Even though our awareness of ADHD has grown massively in the past couple of decades, the disorder is likely still vastly underdiagnosed.
Okay, we're going to do some ADHD comparisons with some fun facts. Give you a little brain break here. People who watched the Emmys in 2022, 5.9 million. People who live in Virginia, how many do you think, Penn?
I went to school there. It'd probably be like around 6 or 7 million, maybe?
8.6 million.
Yeah.
The number of people who got the flu during the 2021-2022 flu season.
Oh, so not COVID, but the flu?
The flu.
Oh, my gosh, I have no idea.
9 million, okay? Wow. How many million people do you think have ADHD in the United States?
The way you're doing this, I'm going to guess more.
More.
Yeah.
14 million people have been diagnosed with ADHD in the United States.
And as you just heard from our list, there's a good chance there's quite a few more.
Yes. And scene. That was the introduction in chapter one of our book, ADHD is Awesome.
And we're back to the present.
We're back to the present. The audiobook is available wherever you can get audiobooks. And the book is available in stores now everywhere. So we're so excited. Thank you so much for your support. We love you so much. We hope this book helps your family as much as it's helped ours.
And if it does, you should give yourself a pat on the back because of the thousands of people who have reached out to us and basically told us, keep writing, keep working. We need this.
Yeah.
That really meant a lot.
Yeah. Okay. Love you guys. Okay. Love you. Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.